Well, beloved, I just have a few thoughts for you. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. I've entitled this devotion, Little Eyes Are Watching. Little Eyes Are Watching. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Perhaps you've heard the expression, more is caught than taught. Never underestimate the power of your own example. When it comes to our parenting, we want kids to do what we say, but in the long run, they are more likely to do what we do. Now, the Apostle Paul understood this when he was speaking to his spiritual children. And I think this is a wonderful verse for parenting application. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." So Paul said, in essence, I will not ask you to do something that I am not already doing as I follow Christ. So over the years, it's been our privilege to be in ministry and to pour into our marriages and families and of course, raise our own four kids and now have a part in our 10 grandchildren's lives. And when it comes to the power of example, just three brief practical things I want to share. One is the example of faith, the example of faith. And of course, that begins with saving faith. You cannot share what you do not have. And so if you are a mom, a dad, a grandma, or a grandpa, you don't yet have faith in Christ. You have not yet come to the Lord and said, I am a sinner and incapable of saving myself. There will be no amount of self-improvement that will make me right in your sight. You made the provision in sending your son Christ. He alone was righteous perfectly and continually. He alone was innocent. And it is faith alone in Christ alone that allows me to repent, to turn from my life of independence from God, my self-righteousness, my attempts to make myself worthy of God's love and favor, and to throw myself on the mercy of Christ, who will do for me what he did for Jacob, transform me, make me a new creature in him. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, is Christ your Savior? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? You are following something. You're either following the desires of your heart and mind and body, or you are following the will of the God who made you and died for you. Do you know Christ? You can know him today. Then there's what I would call suffering faith. It's something that's been kind of front and center lately. It's the example of your kids and grandkids watching you trust God in tough times. They see your quiet confidence and not a person consumed with fear and worry. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say dad lost his job. Would they see mom trusting God, encouraging dad with her faith in him to take care of the family and not be angry, blaming and accusing dad or consumed with fear and worry? Would they see dad trusting God, not throwing the boss and company under the bus, working hard at finding another job, taking whatever job he could to support the family, not taking his fear and frustration out on the family, and encouraging his family to trust the promises of God? Example. Then I would say, secondly, the example of love. Do they see you loving the Lord? Would they say, yeah, I remember whenever I'd get up in the morning and come downstairs for breakfast, Dad would be at the kitchen table with his Bible open. He's already been spending time with the Lord. I remember walking past Mom and Dad's bedroom and hearing them pray for us by name, seeing them on their knees praying for God to bless us and provide for us and protect us. Is the attitude you're communicating, hey kids, we go to the Word of God to meet the God of the Word. This isn't something I just check off my to-do list. I need time with God. I want to know Him. I want to make Him known. I need time in His presence. I want to eat from the table He's prepared for me so that I can give to you. Do they see us, our kids and grandkids, loving the lost? Have your kids ever watched you share the gospel? Ideally, it would be at your kitchen table with somebody you had over. Will that be one of their memories? Yeah, I remember when I saw Dad share the gospel. I remember Mom sharing the gospel with her friends when they would come over. I remember Mom and Dad sharing the gospel with our friends when they came. Would that be one of their memories? How about loving those who are different, people who don't look like us, think like us, dress like us, talk like us? Will their memory be, Mom and Dad weren't intimidated by people who were different. They loved unconditionally. They didn't talk about people, make fun of people. They assumed that if those people were in our lives, that God had put them there and loved them, whatever they looked like. Loving those who disagree. We've never been more divided as a nation politically. And no matter how passionate you are about your political beliefs, will your kids remembering you talk about those of opposite beliefs with respect? Even though you might bitterly disagree with their politics, will your kids remember, hey, Mom and Dad treated people fundamentally as those who were made in the image of God and souls for whom Jesus died? And even if they were in another universe politically or culturally or with their appearance, I remember Mom and Dad having a fundamental respect for people. Loving those who disagree. You can disagree vehemently and passionately and still not dishonor people. How about loving the kids when they fail? You know, Joanne and I have talked so many times about this, but if we could get into the time machine and raise our kids all over again, we have agreed we would show so much more grace. There were things that we would get upset about that in the final reality weren't that big a deal. I mean, how clean their room was, you know, as I look back, was that really as big a deal as we made it? Was that really the hill to die on? And we would be a much more gospel-focused house, meaning that there's still discipline, there's still standards, there's still boundaries, there's still consequences, there's still the need for us to function, to honor God with our words, thoughts, and actions, and attitudes. But when our children fail to recognize, hey, the biggest sinners in the house are Mom and Dad. Dad knows so much more Bible than you, and if Dad's losing his temper, Dad's not trusting God, then who am I to be harsh and impatient with you? Much more grace. Much more grace when they fail, because Christ has been so patient and gracious with us as adults. And then will they remember you loving your spouse faithfully? Here's what I mean by that. Our kids are paying attention to how we treat the opposite sex. When you're out for dinner at a restaurant, do they see Dad paying more attention to a woman than he should? Do we have men? Do we have eyes for one woman? Hands for one woman? Words for one woman? Passion for one woman? Will our kids remember, Dad was a one-woman man, Mom was a one-man woman, and yeah, they could fight, and they could get after each other, and there were times it was a little scary, but at the end of the day, they were for each other. And if that has not been the case, that there's a gracious God who heals, who restores, who redeems. Love. Finally, the example of joy. I'm so passionate about this last one. The Westminster Catechism, question number one, what is the chief end of man? Or in other words, what is the purpose of man? It is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Nothing is a greater deterrent to faith than joyless Christianity. Can I say that again? Nothing is a greater deterrent to faith than joyless Christianity. And nothing has greater impact on your children than your joy as a child of God. When you see happy, healthy children, it reflects on the parents. When a wife is obviously happy and content, you conclude she has a husband who loves her and cares for her. When a man loves his job, it reflects on the boss he works for, his co-workers, and the fulfillment he gets from his work. If I'm a Christian who is constantly striving to earn God's favor, do not believe I'm loved and accepted in Christ, reduce my Christianity to keeping rules and being better than other people, then I will be a joyless, self-righteous, and self-deceived Christian. Worse, that will reflect on Christ, whom I profess to follow. That life will cause people to wonder, is that really worth following this Jesus based on what I see in that guy's life? A life of rules, do's and don'ts, conforming to traditions is not what God intended for His people. Our children need to see in us an example, not a perfect example, but a predictable example of radical love, transformational power, and uncontainable joy. You know, when it comes to the truth, presentation is important. Let's say I invited you to our house for a steak dinner. Ribeye and salmon steaks grilled to order, baked potatoes slathered with butter and sour cream, salad with a wide variety of toppings, homemade rolls, fresh fruit salad for those who need a vegetable here and there, some asparagus maybe, a broccoli casserole. And then at the end, peach pie. But we didn't serve it on plates. I grabbed the mats in my car, and we put all that food on the car mats. All right? Even worse, you got no silverware. And while we had fresh spring water, you weren't given a glass. We passed around a pitcher. And when Colombian coffee was freshly ground and brewed, everyone was given a straw to drink from the same coffee pot. Sounds appetizing, doesn't it? All right, here's a point. No matter how wonderful the dinner, you would struggle to get past the presentation. And so our exposing our children to the truth of Christ is vitally important, but how is our presentation? Do we serve the feast on a platter of a life that joyously follows Christ, or a life that is self-absorbed and earthbound? Parents and grandparents, let's surrender our lives anew to the God who can restore the irresistible beauty of Christ in us, making it as easy as possible for our children to believe and to genuinely love the Lord. So we want to conclude. I appreciated what Greg Fryer had to say Wednesday night at prayer meeting. And by the way, we got to find the date. Greg brought a message on how to have spiritual impact on your kids. It's probably a year ago now. It was phenomenal. We'd like to get the date because you can still see that on our website. But he mentioned a song I had forgotten about by Steve Green called Find Us Faithful. And that was really of the Lord because, Greg, I knew that'd be the perfect way to end our Child and Baby Dedication Sunday. So let's watch and meditate on these lyrics right now as we close.